Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's March 6, 2012, and this is episode 325. So on March 2, along with the long-awaited 5D Mark III, Canon announced a major update to their speedlight range, with the 600 EXRT speedlight becoming the new flagship. And perhaps even more exciting, they also announced an ST-E3RT speedlight transmitter, which takes their native solution away from the line of sight infrared triggering to a radio-based control system. And I personally haven't had a chance to play with any of this stuff yet, but my friend Silarina has, and he's quite kindly agreed to come on this week's episode and tell us about it. So welcome to the show, Sil.
Oh, hey, Martin, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's really nice to have you back. Some people will remember you being on this podcast in the past, and I'm sure that TWIP listeners have listened to us recently talking together on a few shows as well. But it's really nice to have you back on my show.
It's always nice to have you and you alone instead of all of our good friends in TWIP as well.
So. Yeah, there's benefits to both, I think. But it's always fun. The TWIP crowd are great, so it's nice to get on both. But yeah, it's really nice to be talking with you here. It's 10 a.m. here in Tokyo, and I guess 5 p.m. or so over in your part of the world.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You understand that phenomenon better than I do.
Well,
there are some days where I wish it could be 10 a.m. when it's already 5 p.m.
So. Oh yeah, I'm sure it's it's actually like the next day here. So
that's the part I choose not to remember when I feel that.
So, Sil, let's talk about these new bits of equipment that Canon have blessed us with. So, what's the system comprised of now? What have we got to play with?
Well, we've got a brand new, as you mentioned, new flagship speedlight, the 600 EX-RT, which stands for radio transmission, and then the STE3-RT. So I'm probably going to casually refer to them from time to time as the 600 EX and the STE3.
Okay.
Canon did tell me that there is actually going to be a 600 EX without the radio transmitter, and that model will be marketed in those countries where the 2.4 gigahertz band is not used for unlicensed wireless devices.
Yeah.
And I frankly don't know what countries those are, but certainly all my friends are interested in the radio model, not the plain old vanilla model.
Yeah, yeah. So I know what you mean about these acronyms and these hyphen this, hyphen that. They can be a bit of a mouthful, but I think that, you know, there's only really a few main components, so people will get their heads around that pretty quickly. So, you know, I bought into the Profoto monolights because I needed a way of using radio triggers for them. And Pocket Wizards at the time, and I think even now still, I can't buy Pocket Wizards from B&H and import them into Japan because of the radio frequency problems. They're not supported here. So I ended up with a totally different system. But if this new system had come out a few years ago, I would have seriously considered just going with the native Canon range, especially with, you know, being a Canon shooter. So it's very exciting for me. I'm not sure if I'll upgrade, but or cross grade, but it's really nice to see this new stuff.
It is, and I'll say very quickly on that point, this is an international system. The great news is that you could come to the States and shoot them. You go to Europe, you go to Africa.
Right.
2.4 gigahertz is the frequency range that all of our microwave ovens work on worldwide.
Yeah.
And that's due to physics, I guess, and then because of the radio interference that microwave ovens create. There was that band created about 30 years ago that's now used for all kinds of wireless devices. So Canon, I think, has made a lot of great decisions, and foremost among them is that they've created an international platform so that we don't have to worry about different frequency bands in different parts of the country or different parts of the world.
Yeah, and that really is a big plus for me. I mean, and I think people are going to be very happy to see that. So what does it allow us to do? I believe you can fire the, you know, the slave. Are they still called slaves? I imagine
they are.
Yeah,
they are.
I believe you can fire the slaves with either a 600 EX on the camera or the transmitter. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, Martin. You've got actually several different options. First off, in the radio mode, you can use the 600EX in the hot shoe, or you can use the STE3 wireless transmitter in the hot shoe. And very quickly, I'll tell you, I've gravitated towards using the STE3 because it's got a very low profile. Mm. It's actually lighter and smaller than the STE2. And again, Canon's made a lot of great choices. The STE3 now runs on a pair of AA batteries rather than some weird battery that nobody can afford or find anymore, like the STE2.
Yeah.
So you can use both in radio mode, or you can switch the 600EX over to optical mode, which means that if you're looking for a way to integrate it with an existing inventory of 500 series or 400 series slaves, it'll work backwards. It's backwards compatible to the old optical system, but you don't have the range or the ability to go through walls and those kind of things that the radio gives you.
So another thing with my Pro Photos, and I mean, I've got to say, before I seem like I'm trashing these, because I do love my Pro Photo monolights. They're a great system. But one of the things is that I can't use the higher sync speeds that I can get with my 500EX2s at the moment. What are the sync speeds like with the new Canon system?
So here's an interesting thing. When Canon Europe sent me three of the 600EXs and one STE3, so that I could evaluate them, test them, shoot them for a week or so, and then write an article for the Canon Pro Network site, it was kind of an emotional roller coaster. I went clickety-click up the tracks, and I was really enthusiastic. And then I opened the user's manual, and I read it, and my emotion went plummeting, because in the manual, Canon has said that on pre-2012 cameras, so you can think of that as being anything other than the 1DX or the 5D Mark III, on any pre-2012 camera, the maximum sync speed is deprecated by full stop. So if somebody shoots a 5D Mark II, which syncs at a 200th of a second, reading in the manual and doing the math in my head really quick, thinking, oh my God, these things are only going to work at 1/100 of a second. Mm. And of course, that's when the roller coaster almost crashed to the ground in terms of my enthusiasm. But being the curious person that I am, when I got the gear on top of my camera, I said, well, all right, I wonder what's going to happen when I try to fire this off at a 1/200 of a second. And lo and behold, it synced beautifully. And then I thought, well, okay, nothing blew up. I got a photo, the full frame's illuminated. Let's try a 1/500 of a second. Let's try 1/1000 of a second. So what I have found on my 5D Mark II and on my 60D is that I've been able to go in and out of high-speed sync just as if the manual said that I could go in and out of high-speed sync. These speed lights and the wireless transmitter have worked for me flawlessly. I've shot, in the past 5 or 6 days, I've probably shot 1,000 frames with the new system, and I would say 70% of them are in the high-speed sync territory, above a 1/200 of a second.
Wow.
I've not had one sync issue. Now, Canon, I think, is being very conservative in this regard, and maybe there are some circumstances. Maybe there are certain bodies, or maybe if you're in a very congested area in terms of radio interference, that other sorts of things. But in terms of the shooting that I've been doing, which has not been in heavily industrialized locations or in corporate locations where there's lots of wireless things going back and forth. But in areas where the RF signal is very clean, I've had no issue getting these things to sync right up to 1/8000 of a second.
That's incredible. I imagine, like you say, that Canon are being conservative. They're just trying to protect themselves in that there probably are sometimes when it's going to drop down. But that's great that you can. I mean, even if you know that it, you know, once you do hit problems, you can, at least you don't feel bad because it says in the manual that you can sync up to 1/8000 of a second. But that's great, really good news. So you on your blog post, and by the way, to the listeners, Syl's released a couple of great blog posts about this already, and I'll link to these in our show notes. And if you're listening and you want to just jump over to the show notes, go to mbp.ac/325, and that'll take you to this podcast show notes. but I'll link in there directly to Syl's website as well. So do check these out for yourself. There's lots of great information. But I was in there looking, and one of the things that I thought was really cool was that we can now also individually control flashes through groups. Can you tell us a little bit about the groups, Syl?
Yeah, this is one of the most exciting developments. I'm going to step back. There's the radio that's exciting. There's the user interface and the menu system, which we absolutely have to talk about, that I think is amazing. Mm. And this group function. Now, this I know for a fact the manual is right on. The manual says if you don't have a 2012 camera body, you cannot do groups. And okay. So just to set the record straight, I've not figured out a workaround on that. But basically, I think it's going to be incredibly exciting. And I've been on the list for a year to get a 5D Mark III anyway. Mm. So I'm looking forward to being able to actually experience this. But what we'll have with the new generation of Canon cameras, with the new generation of Canon speedlights, is the ability to control up to 5 different groups of lights. So right now we have 3 groups, and the master is always a member of group A. Mm. In the future, the master will still be a member of group A, but we'll have up to 4 additional groups. We'll have the ability to assign the shooting mode for each group individually. So if you're on an interesting set where you want a couple of groups to be in ETTL, say because your subject is moving in the foreground, but you also need accent lights on the background, and because the flash to subject distance in that case is fixed, you can shoot that in manual. Mm. So you can do that. And I'm so grateful for Canon for giving us the ability in this system, the 5-group system, to turn groups on and off at will. Mm. One of the challenges I've had, like if I'm just lighting a classic 3-light portrait, so I've got one light is a key light, one light is a fill light, and one light is a hair light. Mm. I always like to shut 2 of the 3 lights off just to see what that one light is contributing to the shot, yeah, to see if I've aimed it right or if the power is right or whatever.
Yeah.
And heretofore, basically, I've had to walk over to the lights, even though I'm shooting wireless, and turn them off manually by hand.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited. With the new system, we'll be able to, with just a couple of button pushes, be able to turn groups on and off individually, which of course will lead to a completely new way of thinking and a completely new way of shooting as well.
That's incredible. Yeah. I really am looking forward to giving this a try at some point myself as well. So I guess that, you know, with the all of the new stuff that we can do, I've seen on your website, you've got some photos of the new back panel, the LED, and I guess that all of the groups and things are all actually displayed graphically or in some way on the LED as well. So can you tell us a little bit about the new LED itself? And
As I mentioned, the user interface experience on this new system is as big a step forward as adding radio to the wireless side of the equation.
Wow.
So first off, what we have is a screen that is almost 40% larger than the screen on the 580EX Mark IIs.
Yeah.
What we also have is a new technology. I don't know what the old school LCD was called, but the new technology that we have on the speedlights now is dot matrix.
Okay.
So in the old system, basically Canon had to cram every icon onto one screen. And if you recall, for instance, the icon for second curtain sync is not in the same part of the screen as the icon for high speed sync.
Mm.
They're both dealing with sync, but you had to remember, oh, for one, I'm looking in the upper right-hand corner. For another, I'm looking in the lower left-hand corner. Mm. Now, because of the dot matrix technology, basically the screen redraws every screen afresh based upon the settings that you've put into it.
Got it.
So the mode is always in the upper left-hand corner. The sync icon is always over towards the right margin, about a third of the way down.
Mm.
And the other part of it that's truly amazing to me now, we still have the 4 buttons right below the LCD, but rather than have each of those buttons fixed in terms of its functionality, we have an interactive menu system.
Yeah.
So if you're shooting in ETTL, the labels for those buttons appear on the screen, and the operation of those buttons applies only to ETTL.
Mm.
If you're shooting manual, the same thing. When you turn on the wireless system, and by the way, we now have a dedicated button to go in and out of the wireless system. It used to be that all of this functionality was stacked up two and three layers deep on just four buttons. And now Canon has done a brilliant job of creating this menu system so that when you're in the wireless mode, which albeit can be a rather complicated environment, the three buttons on the left relate to certain degrees of functionality. The button on the right is the menu button. So simply when I was learning the system, I just kept pushing the menu button and it would cycle up three new buttons so that when I finally said, oh, okay, that's how I turn the master on and off.
Yeah.
In the old system, gosh, you just go in these loops and you couldn't see what you were looking at. The other thing that's really interesting about the new LCD system is that it has the ability to change the color of the backlight. Now, there's actually three different colors. There's green, there's orange, and there's red. Hopefully you're not going to see red, because red is reserved for as an indication that the speed light is overheating. We've got a new thermal protection scheme. And I have yet in my power flash, and I've yet to see a red screen, which I'm taking as being a good sign. But what I was able to do in custom functions is go in and say, okay, when the speed light's in normal mode, meaning non-wireless mode, or when it's in master mode, I want the backlight to be green.
Yeah.
But when I switch it over to a slave, I want the backlight to be orange. And I have to tell you, I have found already in a number of shoots I've done in the past week a moment to be grateful for that one little design element, because just knowing that I switched to slave by seeing the screen go orange was a great confirmation. And anything I can have on a set that saves me a couple of seconds or saves me from another moment of distraction always helps my photography.
That's it really is pretty cool. I know when I'm shooting with my monolights, I generally end up, I'll select different groups or different channels for each one. I use up to four on location, and I end up going around with a little piece of white gaffer tape, and I have to write like 1, 2, 3, and 4 and actually label them, because there's no way of making them look any different when you've set that up. So I think that really is a nice addition there from Canon. So let's see. You mentioned earlier that you've been using your new gear in a relatively radio or a non-congested sort of microwave sort of area, but there I see from your blog that Canon have also added the channel scanner so that you can check which are the most free. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And again, I think Canon has done a surprisingly great job with all of the design features in this. So we have 15 wireless channels throughout the 2.4 gigahertz range. And you can set the master to scan those channels and pick the best one. Or if you're a control freak like I am, you can say, no, I want to run it manually. But the question becomes, all right, in those 15 channels, and there are other devices, you mentioned microwave ovens, there's the wireless routers, there's cordless phones, and on and on and on, lots of things that use this 2.4 gigahertz band. So you hit the channel scanner button, and it will show you the signal strength on each of the 15 channels. Now, it gets interesting to me because in the old system, we had four channels. So theoretically, you could have three other Canon shooters firing the optical system in the same room. And then I thought, well, that's nice. Now I can have 14 friends because we've got 15 channels. But in fact, it gets way better than that, because within each of those channels, you then have to set a second setting known now as wireless ID. So the master and the slave have to be on the same channel, and they have to have the same wireless ID set. So the wireless ID ranges from 0000 to 9999, which if I calculate right, that's 10,000 wireless IDs for each channel.
Got it.
So the ability is you could literally, I think, you can go to the Olympics where there's hundreds of shooters working, and you can be rest assured not only are you going to have a chance to shoot on the strongest signal because the scanner will tell you what's strong and what's not, but then once you can have everybody piling up. If there's only one channel, I wouldn't sweat it, because if there's 10,000 shooters in the room, it's going to be kind of warm anyway.
Yeah, so that is good stuff. So Say I've got, I mean, right now I have, in with my Profoto gear and sometimes just alone, I have three 580EX2 speed lights. And say I want to get into this new system. How well are my old speed lights going to play with the new gear?
All right. Well, there's really two questions, and I don't want you to let me slide by without answering the other question, which you didn't ask, which I will. And that's how is this new system going to work with your Profoto gear? Because I likewise shoot Profoto.
Oh, okay.
And I want to share something with you on that regard. All right. So the real question for Canonistas is going to be, how does all this gear work, the new gear work with the old gear that I've accumulated through the years? Specifically, will the 600EX RT and the SDE3 RT work with my 580s and my 430s and so on? So the quick answer is I can give you a yes answer and I can give you a no answer. I'm going to start with the no. Mm. The no is that there is no backwards compatibility in terms of radio triggering because there's no radio functionality in the 500 or the 400 series speed lights. Mm. One of the things that I had hoped for is that I could take one 600, gang it up with two or three 580s inside a Westcott Apollo softbox, have the on-camera transmitter send a message to that master, have it by radio, and have it then convert that radio communication to an optical blast to control the other speed lights in that box. Yeah. That functionality was just, I guess, it doesn't exist. Either it was too hard or it wasn't important or whatever. But so we don't have the ability to use one 600 series speed light as a master to optically control slaves with radio communication between the camera and that master.
Okay.
We do have the ability, however, to use the 600 series speed light with all of our legacy EX speed lights in optical mode. One of the things I noticed is that Canon has basically carried all of the past functionality forward, all right? Even including flash exposure bracketing. And as many flash photographs as I've ever made, I never had the urge to use flash exposure bracketing. But the good news is for those who like FEB, it's still there.
Got it.
So if you have a handful of 580s and you want to, on a certain shoot, you're going to use them, you can just revert back to the optical transmission mode, okay?
Okay.
Now, I just confirmed this today with some tests in my studio. Let me tell you how you can use the radio system to trigger either Canon speed lights or, in my case, in your case, I think it'll be of greater interest to know how we can trigger our Profoto gear or literally any studio light that has an optical slave. One of the things that occurred to me, and I confirmed it this morning in a shoot, is that in the optical wireless system, the master communicated to the slaves via pre-flashes. So even when the slaves and the master were programmed to shoot in manual mode, there was still an optical pre-flash that would screw up the communication or pre-fire, I should say, things like our Profoto gear. With radio now, what we can do is set the system to manual, and then what we have the opportunity to do is to fire our studio strobes and our monolights using the optical sensors built into that gear. It will fire off of the speed light because there's no more pre-flash when the speed lights are in manual.
Got it.
The master communicates to the slave via radio. Then when the shutter opens, it triggers the speed light to fire. In that instant, when the flash fires, the optical sensors on the Profoto gear, any other monolight or studio light, is going to see that flash, and it timed out beautifully this morning. So
nice.
I'm actually enthused, you know, about this element that for the first time I can, without going to using a lot of Pocket Wizard gear, and I think Pocket Wizard gear is great, I just don't own a lot of it. And I've always been one of those guys saying, you know, I want to use as little gear as I can. So the idea of being able to just shoot in manual mode via the radio wireless and going back to that optical sensor, I think I've got some ideas for shoots that I'm going to be doing in the next few weeks to put this in into motion, because I love big lights as much as I love little lights. If you need to fill a big modifier, because that's what you need to do,
yeah,
it's far easier to do that with a a flash tube that's shaped like a donut rather than one that's shaped like a business card.
Right, yeah.
And so, but at the same time, the form factor of a speed light is so much smaller.
Right.
I actually think that we can now begin to think about using these lights, the speed lights, actually in the set. They're small enough to be hidden behind things.
Yeah.
So for people who like myself who light in a very kind of pictorial or cinematic manner,
yeah.
I say, oh, I want just a pool of light, you know, coming from behind that wine bottle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we can now begin to do some really interesting things with this technology.
Excellent. Great stuff. So one last question here. And this is a bit of a could be a bit of a rat hole, but so do you believe, Syl, that this new system is a game changer?
Gosh, you know, I certainly want to say, I'll say definitively, it certainly levels the playing field. I mean, let's call it out. And as a Canonista, my Nikonian friends for years have been saying, oh, it's too bad your system doesn't operate like our system.
Yeah.
Well, now the table's turned. And of course, you know, you and I don't control the Canon engineers any more than my friends and your friends who shoot Nikon control the Nikon engineers. Mm. And fundamentally, I do feel that regardless of which company introduces new technology, in the long run, it's good for all photographers because it's great to have two or three manufacturers compete with technology because
yeah.
we, the consumer, ultimately benefit from that. Yeah, I do think it's a game changer. I think it's a game changer in terms of people. Once you see the interactive menu system, for instance, even if a fellow just has one speed light, gosh, as you well know, Martin, the menu system heretofore on the speed light itself has been very, very cryptic.
Yeah.
And one great thing about the Canon system, if you've got a camera that was introduced from the middle of 2007 to the present time, you can pull up the speed light menu in its entirety. Every button and dial operation you can pull up on the LCD of your camera and control it that way. But I think this new user interface will bring a lot of people to the world of flash who had never discovered that on-camera control. Mm. I think that the ability, some of the shoots that I did this week, the ability to put speed lights inside of modifiers, like I'm a big fan of the Westcott Apollo softbox where the light actually mounts on the inside. Mm. And in the past, I would literally have to run an extra long ETTL cable, a 10-meter ETTL cable, from my camera over inside the box, hook it up to one of the speed lights inside, which I would designate as the master, and everything else inside would be a slave. And I could do that for one box. And if there was a slave outside the soft box, I could control that. Now I don't have to worry about it. I've done two shoots this week where I actually stacked the soft boxes because I needed a long, kind of tall, thin swath of light.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it popped in my head. I said, my gosh, I've got, you know, three Apollos in my kit. I'm going to pull two of them out, stack them up, put one or two speed lights in each, and seal them up and control the whole rig from the SDE3 controller on top of my camera.
It worked
fabulously.
That was the part of your video where you shot outside with the one box above, one below, against the red door or something, was it?
I did it in two places in the video. That was an over-under clamshell, kind of a traditional high fashion look, where exactly that. I've got a soft box stacked in kind of a V formation, and the model puts her face into the open side. It's also, so think of it as a clamshell, and then I stuff the camera into where the hinge of the clamshell would be.
Yeah.
And it's a typical glamour light. It just surrounds the model with beautiful light.
Yeah.
The other shoot I did in the video was my crazy impulsive shoot where I had the model step inside the refrigerator.
Yeah, okay.
And that's where I discovered, hey, we can stack these soft boxes now, instead of having to carry, you know, a square box and a strip bank. Mm. Now I've got two square boxes that I just stack and I get the look of a strip bank.
Yeah, it's amazing. You were creating some beautiful light there as usual. So, and now much easier with the new gear. So, you know what? I lied a moment ago when I said it was the last question. I'm going to throw one last to you. So moving on sort of from the, you know, earlier I mentioned that Canon had also announced the 5D Mark III, and we briefly touched on this. What do you think of the Mark III? And, you know, are you getting one? Do you think that it's worth upgrading for Mark II owners and those sort of things?
You know, here's, all right. So the first question, am I getting one? I'll probably get two. In fact, I've had a 1DX on pre-order since the day that they announced it. Mm. I'm going to cancel that and take, you know, those resources and put it towards a pair of the 5D Mark IIIs. Mm. I think Canon has, again, done a great job designing the feature set. And if you believe the specs, I've not shot the 5D Mark III yet, but if you believe the commentary, if you believe the specs, for the money, I think this is going to be an amazing, amazing camera. Mm. The other thing I'll share with you, though, is that my existing 5D Mark II has had so many frames fired through it that it needs to go. Mm. It's a beloved body, but yeah. It's made a lot of great images.
Yeah.
But I just know I'm kind of pushing the time limit on how useful that will be to me. As for whether somebody else should upgrade, I always think that depends upon what they're trying to accomplish and, of course, their financial resources. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a weekend warrior and you're shooting one or two weekends a month, then maybe the 5D Mark III, as cool as it sounds, isn't what you need. Maybe what you need is a good used 5D Mark II, not mine, perhaps.
Yeah,
a good reliable body that's not been used incessantly for many, many years.
Mm. It's interesting that you mentioned that you're going to be canceling your 1DX. I actually had a question from someone this morning asking me to compare the two, the 5D Mark III and the 1DX. And like you, I mean, I have a 1DX on order. And I also now have a 5D Mark III on order. I'm going to still get one of each. But the reasons that I, well, actually, this guy, I'll just tell you what I replied to this person this morning. He went through the sort of work that he does, and I didn't see any real need for fast frame rate or the more rugged build and the heavier weatherproofing. So I basically replied to him, you know, ask yourself these two questions. Do you need 12 frames per second over 6? And do you need the ruggedness and the total weatherproofing of the 1DX? And bearing in mind that the 5D Mark III, in the specs, they do say that it's got improved weatherproofing over the Mark II. So if you don't need those two things, then to me, I think that they're pretty much the same camera. They've both got a lot of the new features. It's just that the 5D it shoots like half the frame rate, and which is still great at 6 frames per second. And it's not maybe not quite as rugged a build. But if you don't need those two things, then I think that the 5D Mark III is going to be an excellent camera. And like you say, at the price. But I mean, we were talking briefly off air before we started to record that, you know, the prices, Canon are hiking the prices a little bit. And I know that a lot of people are concerned about the new pricing regime that we're seeing. I'm pretty sure, just for the sake to get this out on the air of via the podcast, I'm pretty sure that what's happening here is that Canon are seeing they're hurting now with the yen to dollar exchange rate and the pound and all of the major currencies. Obviously, the yen, for some reason, has remained relatively strong, while a lot of other currencies have come down in comparison. So Canon at the moment are only getting 80 yen per dollar compared to 100 or 110 yen per dollar until very recently. And so, although it's very difficult to increase the price of a current product that's already out in the field, or in the market, it's much easier to hike prices when you release something new, especially when it's got new technology in it. And it's arguable that you're going from a nine focus point system on the original Mark II to the 62 point focus points on the Mark III. They're putting a lot of new stuff in this new equipment as well. So the price hike is warranted, in my opinion, but also I just think, and this is just my guess, but I think that Canon are also just trying to protect their profit margin, because obviously they're a Japan-based company, and that yen to dollar or yen to pound or other currency exchange rate is really hurting them right now. So I think
that's an interesting thought, Martin, and I've not looked at this historically, but I mean, we see it in all kinds of technology. You know, when a new technology, a quantum leap is taken, early adopters pay far more than those who wait. Look at the cost of what a moderately sized HD TV cost 5 years ago relative to what they cost today. Now, I would love to think that the cost of 600EX will plummet the same way that technology has. But at the same time, I don't have that expectation. But I do believe that a year or two down the road, the 600EX, as the supply of 580EX Mark IIs is exhausted, and the only speed light coming out of the factories is the 600, I think we'll see the price settle back closer to where one can buy a 580EX Mark II right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's another problem. People do tend to compare the price with the current price of the older generation, and they always come down a little. So that's a good point too.
I mean, it's hard to remember, but the 580 EX2 was introduced 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, gosh, there's a lot of them. Canon's made back all their money on the machining and the technology that went into that.
Yeah.
I think the first, I'll go out on a limb here and I'll say, I think the first people to embrace this new technology are going to be the wedding and event photographers. Because if you were in a paycheck by shooting flash in dim environments, you're going to find that the extended range of the radio, which Canon says, I don't know that we touched on this earlier, Canon says the manual, it's good up to 30 meters. I went out to the road next to my house, and at 100 meters, we stopped testing. So there's another area where my experience has differed greatly from the manual in a very positive way.
Yeah.
So wedding and event photographers who need to control remote speed lights or want to control remote speed lights over great distances, such as an event or a large dance floor or whatever, I think those would be the first people to flock. There's one other element that you as a wildlife shooter, Martin, might look into. There's a new mode called linked mode, and you can literally take the STE3 transmitter or the 600EXRT speed light, and there's now a port on the shoulder, and you can get a new cord. I don't even recall the model number. I think it's I'm going to take a guess, but it's a new cord that plugs into the N3 port on the side, basically where the intervalometer goes, and it will fire a camera from the slaved speed light or from a slaved transmitter.
Yeah.
So if you're a wildlife shooter or a sports shooter, I think there'll be some really interesting applications. It was not something that was originally on my Canon Speedlight wish list that I published in 2009, but obviously there's enough people who are looking for a remote triggering solution that Canon built it into this new Speedlight system as well.
Yeah, that is amazing. I can see, like you say, sports and wildlife. There's going to be some applications where that's going to be very useful. So it's all good stuff. So, Sil, thanks so much for coming on the show today and telling us all about this new system and you know, all of your pearls of wisdom. I'm sure the listeners are going to be lapping this up. I'll be releasing it later today, so hopefully everyone will enjoy this. So where can people find you on the big internet out there?
So I'm once again blogging under my original blog title, which is Pixelated. No, that's a play on my name, so I'll spell it out. It's P-I-X and then my first name, Syl, S-Y-L-A-T-E-D, P-I-X-S-Y-L-A-T-E-D.com.
Yeah.
For 2 years, I was blogging exclusively on speedlighting.com, but I've merged that into Pixelated because I'm now also writing on other topics, although... Wouldn't you know, Martin, with my luck, the week that I make that change back to Pixelated, Canon drops this on my lap.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other people are saying, well, why didn't you change earlier? We've been waiting a long time for this technology.
Yeah.
And also then on Twitter, Syl, S-Y-L underscore arena, A-R-E-N-A.
Okay, great stuff. So I'll put some links into the show notes for all of that as well, so... If people just go over to mbp.ac/325, then you'll get all of those links. Or, of course, if you're at a computer right now, just go over and take a look. Syl has a lot of great information on his website. So, really, thanks very much for joining me today, Syl, and I hope to speak to you again very soon.
Well, I look forward to being able to do it face-to-face sometime in your home turf.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've got to make that happen.
Okay. All right, friend. Thank you. Take care.
Cheers then. All the best.
Bye.
So thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google Plus and Twitter, etc. All the links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. So drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.